The New Century Multiverse, Steamhot, Episode 7, The Subtle Engineer. We bid farewell to Dr. Kaufman and proceeded onward to Langley in Fairfax County. We had remained tight-lipped with him about the finer details of our assignment, which I personally classify as top secret and eyes only, to the continued annoyance of my companion, who seeks input from strangers on our predicament. We began this journey 10 days ago back in Orangeburg, South Carolina. 10 days of travel in close company with an old friend. Propitious circumstances, one might say, to consider this something of a road trip. Sadly, the awkward estrangement we have experienced over the long years living both together and apart at Weirwood has not changed over the past half year since we became cartographers. Since our ordeal at the House of Verstecht, we have led separate lives and careers once more, with Abigail climbing the ranks from private to sergeant through her natural leadership abilities, and myself focusing on retraining at medicine with my single remaining eye. So our 500-mile horseback trek north has been spent mostly in silence. Nevertheless, I have enjoyed her company and the closeness. As we reached the guardhouse, we saw guns at the ready, but not trained upon us just yet.
What's the purpose of your visit today?
We have some top-secret, eyes-only information to divulge to the director.
You have an appointment?
No, but we have heard that Major Frank Butler and Captain Annie Oakley are working within National Intelligence Headquarters today. They can vouch for us.
Hold on a moment.
The guard captain picked up a black lacquered device with an unusual curve and spoke into it.
Hey, Chester, can you pinpoint Butler or Oakley?
They're both in the war room right now with the Arlingtons.
Patch me through.
You got it.
Are you speaking to someone through that?
Ma'am, shh. Yeah, Major Butler there?
He's right here.
Butler, I got two out front here. Look like they lost a fight with an eye-poking machine.
Do you have one of those here, too?
Shh. Annie and I will be right down. These two have an appointment. Let them through, Harris.
Yes, sir. He says he'll be right out. Apparently you two do have an appointment.
We do?
Damn Skippy, we do. Can we just head on up the road there?
Stick to the path, and yes, the Major and Captain Oakley will meet you at the front doors of the main complex. Do you require an escort?
Can we have one of those talkie thingies?
No, I'm afraid you can't.
Oh, then no.
As we reached the front doors, a pair of familiar figures were stood there. The Major was dressed a little more smartly than when we'd last seen him as a sergeant in Elkview. But Captain Oakley was the one who had undergone a more pronounced change. Her long blue duster was gone, replaced by a short jacket and a long skirt, which made the difference in her stance more apparent. She was 23 years old, the same as Abigail and I, but appeared to have undergone a decade of experience in our 6 months apart. I shook Butler's outstretched hand warmly, only to have him grin and embrace me, something I am thoroughly unaccustomed to.
Ah, heck, bring it on in, Penrose. Last time I saw you, you saw me twice as much.
I grimaced at this, but found his candor as appealing as usual nonetheless. Abigail and Annie stood before one another awkwardly, until the captain, a full foot shorter than Miss Gray, likewise pulled her into an embrace. Abigail broke away first and playfully clapped her on the shoulder.
You guys have got yourself some pretty good jobs, huh? Babysitting the director? Anything interesting happen?
You heard about the riots here in Washington?
We did. Were you here for that?
I wasn't.
But I was in the eye of the hurricane. Saw some crazy things I can tell you both about. But it's not been a month yet. We're still repairing, so that's kind of a situation that's still happening for us.
Ann Arlington, what's he like?
We'll take you to meet him. Them. Let's go.
Our horses were led away to the stables, so I retrieved my bag and we began to move into the building. I found myself trembling as I stepped through the halls, taking in the sounds and smells of the center of intelligence for the entire nation. This is where I wanted to work. Annie walked ahead of us, and I trotted faster to keep up. Are you all right, Captain Oakley?
I'm fine. Had a pretty rough couple of months myself. Did you hear about Vice President Hayes?
I heard he was eaten by a minotaur up in Ohio.
It was a manticore. And I was there. Spent a couple more days hunting that thing. Didn't like what I found.
At least you're alive.
Yeah. But Carl didn't make it.
Oh.
Miss Gray, I would appreciate it if you would let me handle this.
Have a little faith, you two.
I do have faith, but it's the kind that has a limit. There's a window between cautious and stupid, and that's where my faith is. And it sure as hell doesn't cover trust and mercy to a couple of shit-heel raiders. Now, I don't know how cartographers are supposed to act in this scenario, but I know if this was me alone, I would shoot those two down the moment I see their heads.
Well, it's not you alone, Miss Grace. You just button your lip.
This is bullshit! How do we know the moment we step out you won't just shoot us both to save your hides?
It does seem rather too good to be true.
Well, let's see. Does either of you have a deck of cards on you?
I do, ma'am. It's missing the King of Clubs, so we just use a picture of him.
You got an Ace of Hearts in there?
Yep.
What the flying fuck does this have to do with anything?
Toss it up in the air, Virgil. What are we, 300 yards from you?
It seems like it. Just toss it up.
Don't do it.
Why not?
You'll give away our position.
They know where we are. Tossing it now, ma'am.
Did I get it?
Holy shit!
Okay, that was pretty impressive.
Well, all right now. Just toss down your guns. Every single one of them. Knives, too. Knuckle dusters, tomahawks. Anything that you could be foolish enough to try to do us a mischief with. You got that, Virgil? And friend?
It's Carl!
I can't believe you're trusting them. How often do you do this?
Honestly, once a fortnight. Maybe twice. Half the time it doesn't work.
Then why do you bother at all? Just kill them.
Because half the time it does. I'm not ready to sacrifice my partners or myself just because I don't trust folk.
Someday this is going to get you killed.
Maybe so. But we ain't rebuilding nothing with more corpses.
What happened to him?
Manticore pierced his lungs with a paralyzing spine from its tail. Horrible way to go.
Virgil is still alive. He's a cook full-time now. And since the institution of disinfecting preparation areas, there's been no dysentery for months. I hear he has a record counter he adds to every day.
Well, ain't that special now. Let's hope nothing breaks that clean streak.
Did he come of his own accord, or did you ask him to come on this hunt?
Carl? I selected him myself from who was available.
Well, fine. I guess I would have done the same.
I ordered him to fall back when things got too heavy.
I said it's fine.
And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him.
Neither would I.
You need to drop me. You need to drop me if you want to use the mace.
I don't want to use the mace. Come on. I think we're almost at the door. I can see daylight. Come on! We just gotta move. A few more feet and we're out of this. Almost there. Thank you, sir. That thing would have had us both.
Get your asses behind the firing lines. We got more of them on the way.
Is that Carl?
Yeah, but you can just carry on calling me fuck you if y'all prefer. Hey, Cap, we got him.
Nice going, Carl. What the hell happened to you two?
We'll live. But, Captain, there's so much in that house that we need to retrieve. Can the fire be put out?
James, all we've got is a water pump, a bucket, and a shit ton of Wendigos coming out of the woods. That house is ashes, so you two saddle up. We're pulling out of here.
Yes, ma'am.
Poor, foul-mouthed bastard.
We had stopped beside a pressure door of the kind I had only read about.
You two want to see the steam craft?
Yes.
Butler smiled and rotated the lever, beckoning us through the doorway and into a wide industrial hangar, buzzing with electricity. All at once, my knees weakened as I leaned on the railing of the gantry and beheld the sights before me. Gargantuan machines, towering many times taller than a man, flanked with enormous rubberized wheels. The largest, a steel behemoth, the one beside it, a slight nippy, enclosed carriage, and the one at the far end. A three-sectional marvel I could not take my eyes off. From its hexagonally plated hull to the Falcon prow, this vehicle exceeded even the mighty Nautilus in the expanse of my mind. A young woman was hanging by leather straps from the adjoining point between the middle and rear sections, her boots braced against the sides as she worked at the fastenings with a complicated-looking wrench. As we made our way, some of us on wobbly legs, down the steps to pass beside these craft, they loomed ever larger, reminding me of the locomotives I once travelled on, as well as Oceanic. I spotted a blonde man engaged in animated argument with a tall, stoic Serbian with a clipped moustache. Neither of them glanced at us.
And what will give it this lift?
Why, hydrogen, of course. It's as though you haven't been listening to a word I'm saying.
No, I've listened. What eludes me is where you're going to get that much hydrogen in a short space of time.
Well, that's the thing. It can be naturally sourced, but it will take us a month or so just to get the various parts together for the prototype. That's why we need a full staff working on this. We should be turning this place into a factory. If it's good enough for Colt and Winchester, it's good enough for us.
I am not keen on getting too many involved in this.
Well, that's fine and dandy, too. I can run things, and you just use that noodle of yours to think up new tech.
So no change for me. Or for you, then.
Best of all is once it's sold to the military and they get their edge on the war, this has infinite possibilities in peacetime for civilians. Why, we'll have businesses lining up to buy these. We'll be creating a whole new industry. And you and I will hold all the patents.
Rushing ahead as always. Money no longer exists, Thomas. You're going to have to get rich on military credit.
Well, we'll just see about that when the next president gets in.
You want the job?
I reckon I'd make a splendid commander-in-chief.
I can think of worse.
We proceeded onward past them, Butler clearly not wishing to disturb these two titans of invention. Instead, he called out to the woman hanging from the third steamcraft.
Harry, got some folks you're going to want to meet.
The woman deftly hung her wrench upon her utility belt and hopped down between the straps, shaking herself off as she turned to look at us. She immediately smiled, shyly, transitioning from her previous expression of concentration.
This is Dr. James Penrose, and is it Sergeant now?
Yep.
Sergeant Abigail Gray.
I'm sure I'll be charmed. I'm Harriet Arlington for your services.
She gave an awkward little curtsy, which seemed so strange in this context.
Close enough. Harry built this here land vehicle.
Arlington. Any relation?
I've got a sister and two parents.
Is one of them Thomas Arlington?
That's right. You know him?
No. But I really should like to. Madam, first I must extend my admiration for your family and their achievements. And second, I... Words fail me when I look at this masterpiece containing masterpieces.
Words don't fail him much, so well done, Harry. I'm Abigail.
Harry smiled more broadly and timidly shook her hand.
Yeah, she is a beauty. I've been working on her for weeks now, since Major Butler and I took her for that test run with my daddy. That's why she's trisectional now. See, that helps with the steering, and each compartment has its own job. Pilot, people, and power.
She pointed at the front, middle, and end sections, respectively.
Can I have another driving lesson sometime soon?
This afternoon?
No, Harry, I think there's going to be a lot of talking about James and Abigail here. In fact, you're invited too, so can you be ready to come with us?
Oh, I will be. You want to look inside first?
Oh, my giddy aunt, yes.
Well, come on, then. You all as well.
There were many aspects of this young lady that were unusual, and each time I thought I had found her, another layer presented itself. She kept avoiding our eyes and talking with great speedy enthusiasm about the inner workings of her baby, as she called it.
We got these ceramic plates threaded throughout the whole interior. Each one is coated with a chemical resin I call Stone Spring. It's tough and non-conductive and can stop a bullet, but way lighter than steel. Best thing for shielding. You can get about 15 in here. Two people up on in the cockpit. These couches become beds. And that table stows away when we go to battle stations. No guns, but these lockable slats here slide open for sniping through. So we can bring our own aboard. Water filtration, so you can drink without getting sick. Cooling fans, so you can survive in the heat. Toughened glass on the windows with shutters for emergencies.
She had some childlike mannerisms and seemed unfamiliar with everyday courtesies, but moved so surely in her own environment, cat-like and confident. What intrigued me most was her mind. It was throwing out points of consideration so fast that her mouth could barely keep up. It was familiar to me.
I've got her balance just right. The main energy source is the furnace here. It's a steam engine, reconfigured using Stirling's regenerative principle. That keeps the energy exchanging back and forth, although there's still some loss. It was safer that way. This is the regulator. See here? We've got heat shielding with more stone spring, so she's not too heavy and won't explode on you. That's kind of important. And we've got the flywheel here as a secondary propulsion and a speed booster, or if you want to go off-road. You keep the engine carriage well-stocked with coal or wood, which you can refill along the way. She'll make every shovelful of fuel last as long as possible.
She yanked a thick leather gauntlet off with her teeth and paused, nipping at the tips of her fingernails and staring off into space.
Harry, focus.
Yes, sir. I'm going to show you what she's like when you turn her on.
She had snapped out of her brief trance and blustered forward to the engine. I now found myself ever so slightly annoyed at the Major. Here, for a brief moment, this magnificent mind had been in repose, resting, reconfiguring, and he had nudged her out of that state. I had prepared a mental bullet-pointed list of things to inquire further about. I would save that for later.
Room for one more?
The blonde fellow had just shouldered in through the hatch. Behind him, his frosty-looking companion followed.
Yes, there is. You know this. Unlike inside your pokey little chariot.
Dr. James Penrose, Sergeant Abigail Gray, meet Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla. Two more of the fabulous brains we keep in this place.
Ah, Doctor. Sir, is our humble workshop to your liking?
It will frighten you, our humility.
I'm not sure I can adequately articulate what it feels like to step out of the 19th century and into this vision of tomorrow. It is almost too much to take in at once.
Why, thank
you. Okay. Ready?
In the engine room, I saw Harry reach behind the furnace to crank a lever. The whole craft roared into life around us, humming with energy. Our faces were illuminated with the dancing orange fire that sprang up inside the cage back there.
She is Steamheart, and she's alive.
I glanced over at Abigail, who had stepped up and into the cockpit. The young mechanic moved back among us, watching Miss Gray nervously as she ran her gloved fingers over the many dials and buttons.
This is something else. What are you planning to do with these things?
Develop them.
Sell them.
Take care of them.
I looked into those soulful, clever eyes, and they pulled away once more as Annie checked her pocket watch.
We gotta take you guys to the war room now. The Arlingtons are just dying to meet you.